because you may have been there 16 hours, and this plane may have called, hey, we got a light out.
Okay, yeah.
You want to go home. You've been there for 16 hours. But you can't let that affect you, because you do a half-assed job, you're going to get half-assed results. And on aircraft, there cannot be half-assed results.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Well, let's hear it. Tell me. Remind me.
So I think it was somewhere after the third or fourth date. I was asked, I want you to meet some of my friends. So we met at the Palmyra Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was you guys. I don't know if Caroline was there.
No, I don't think so. I thought it was just that other couple.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of her name. I
can't think of her name, but she was grilling you hard,
dude. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got grilled more by her than her family.
Yeah.
My wife's family. So because of that, I don't know if you remember that we acted like we were leaving. This girl left, and then I got called back in, and we sat at the bar and talked.
Yes.
And on the first night you met me, you and your wife, fiance at the time, invited me to your bachelor bachelorette party.
That's right.
To which I declined. I'm like, no, it's okay. I appreciate it, but no.
Yeah.
I was not allowed to decline. So the second time ever meeting you was at your bachelor and bachelorette party.
That's right. I do remember now. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I met a lot of your family, a lot of your friends, a lot of Court's family, a lot of her friends.
Yeah.
And then as I was helping clean up your bachelor and bachelorette party is when you invited me to your wedding on the second time you ever met this man.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. I remember now. Keep going. Yeah.
And once again, I thought you two were out of your mind. But
yeah,
you weren't. I showed up at the wedding.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name. You guys call him T-Bone.
Mm,
I sat with him.
Yeah, Alex. Alex listens. Yeah. Troutman, I think, is his last name. T-Bone. Yeah, shout out to T-Bone. Yeah.
Yeah, I sat with him at your wedding, and that's
another good friend.
Rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history. Right. Yeah, I do remember that now. And I think you know, we just knew right off the bat. We're like, this is a good guy. And then the fact that you could see how happy Megan was and everything, it's like, yep, let's do it. So we were just like, fuck it, first time we're meeting him, but we're all in. So yeah, the rest is history. Now here we are. So like. Gosh, that's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
It was a long time ago now.
Well, yeah. So we've married for 7 years, Courtney and I.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, let's take a snack break. 7 years, dude. Look out. That's right. Holy shit. This snack break is brought to you by Jerky Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jerky Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go with 11 grams of protein, high quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jerky Beef Jerky. Eat, meat, repeat. So yeah, I've been married for 7 years. I've known you for 7 years.
So most of the time, you know, some of that time you were at the airport, and I do remember some of those on-call nights, you know, where, you know, you weren't at home because you were on call and, you know, doing your job, which, you know, you're passionate about, and you did a phenomenal job, obviously. But, like, man, I just was like, this is going to kill this guy. I mean, we got to get him out of there, spending too much time there. And
never knowing when I was going, when I was coming home.
Right.
Never knew when you're going to eat either.
I bet that was tough, yeah.
That's a pain in the butt. Because, yeah. I mean, once you're in the aircraft, you're in. You're there until it's fixed or until they, you got to wait for parts, mechanics.
Yeah.
Something.
So you're pretty much stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember, too, those first couple of years where you're still working at the airport. It's hard to, like, even, you know.
Couldn't plan anything.
Plan anything. Thank you. Yeah, schedule things. Plan stuff. It was like, oh, Dylan's on call. It's like, son of a bitch. Yeah, really want to see this guy, you know. Really want to
hang out. Get the text, hey, Friday night, you guys want to go out? Can, I'm on call.
Can, he's on call. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, while you were at the airport, obviously there had to be some major people fly through Harrisburg Airport. Tell us a little bit about the things you saw while on call and just while working at the airport in general.
Well, anyone coming to the farm show, any speaker, anyone like that,
yeah,
they will come through Harrisburg. So, like, Trump would come through a lot. Kamala came through. Ted Cruz, that's who it was. Ted Cruz came through. Just about most of the presidential candidates after Obama came through, because I saw Hillary, I saw Trump, saw Clinton's, both Hillary and Bill, Ted Cruz. I'm missing someone. We get the governor every now and again.
Yeah.
Then obviously celebrities come through every now and again. Oh, we just talked about this. Ed or Vince?
Vince.
We'd get the WWE plane that would come in.
Yeah.
We
say Triple H is on there?
No, he was. That was separate.
Oh, separate. Okay.
Separate instance. But yeah, Triple H came through.
Yeah.
Trying to even think. Not Ed Sheeran. Who am I trying to think of here?
Is it country?
No, it's. No. I'll think of it. I'll come back when I think of it.
Yeah.
But I didn't meet Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. I was on call.
Okay.
Well, actually, I think our wives were at the concert, and Tim and Faith actually landed in Harrisburg, so they were coming back from the concert.
Okay.
So I got waved down, Dylan, while you're here, can we get an extra hand? At that point in time, they were doing runway maintenance. So at midnight, the runway would close.
Okay.
If you were there, you were there. You weren't leaving. So Tim and Faith were trying to get out before it closed.
Yeah.
So I didn't know who it was at the time. I'm just loading bags out of the SUV into the plane. And it was Tim McGraw and Faith Hill.
Wow.
So there was them. Miranda Lambert came through once. I mean, a lot of the other guys, you talk to anyone I used to work with, everyone's met someone in passing.
Yeah.
Tim Allen came through years and years ago, apparently.
Okay.
It's going to really bug me that I can't think of that one guy's name.
All right, take your time, think about it. But while you're thinking about it, like, let's take... Trump, for example, right? He's popular, love him, hate him, whichever side of the aisle, so on and so forth. But the experience when he flies in, Air Force One, right? He's on Air Force One or no? Was this his own?
Well, I saw Trump Force One and Air Force One because he came in as president and as the presidential candidate.
Okay, that's right, because he did a lot of, what am I looking for here in PA?
A lot of events?
Yes, correct, a lot of events here in PA, yes. So, like, what's that experience like? What is your role when, you know, such a prominent figure shows up?
So usually when something like that happens, a couple of mechanics would get roped into helping out. That way, if a piece of equipment dies, we can get it out of the way, get it running. Something. You got to get your security clearances, like the CIA, or not CIA, Secret Service does a background check on you.
Okay.
And then you get a little pin that you put on your collar. Because if you don't have that pin, you cannot get near the aircraft.
Okay.
It was Obama was in, and they actually had across the river, there were snipers on the ridge, is what I was told.
Holy
and they put guys up on the hangars, fuel farm. They're looking for that pin.
Yeah.
If you don't got it, you're a threat.
Wow.
Essentially. So, and once again, you're stuck there. Once you start the charter, is what they're called, you then wait until Trump or Hillary or whoever comes back, and then you get the aircraft out of there. So, and then some, Trump had the least talkative Secret Service. Hillary's Secret Service was extremely talkative.
Really?
Yeah. I distinctly remember the guy from Hillary's charter. He came over to the truck, was talking to us about pheasant hunting, He did a lot of elk hunting. I don't know why I remember that, but
yeah,
he talked to us the whole time. The Trump guys were friendly, but they didn't go out of their way to talk about the PA wildlife.
They're more business.
Yeah, they were more business.
Yeah.
Which was opposite of how the candidates were. Trump would make it a point to come out, wave, shake hands. Hillary was more business. She was off the plane, under the truck, gone. Trump was talking, waving.
Shaking hands. Shaking hands. All that good stuff.
I remember, and Dustin could tell you, there's pictures of me asleep in the truck. I got doused in gasoline, which is why I was not in the best of mood.
Okay.
One of the stair trucks wouldn't start, and Trump was coming. So I got doused, got it running. They went, did his charter, did his event. But as he's coming back, it's 11:30 at night in, like, December. Ooh. It's, like, 10 degrees, 15 degrees. Freezing. We're all there.
Right against the river?
Yep. Oof. Oh, it's windy.
Yeah.
But Trump made it a point to come back around, waved, said thank you. He stood out there. No, he stood in the wind for only a minute or two.
Yeah.
But he didn't just duck right in. I thought that was a pretty cool thing.
That is pretty cool.
He made it a point to thank everyone and...
Yeah, shake hands and all that.
Yep.
That says a lot. You know, I think that does about any prominent figure. You know, it's like they appreciate and they respect, right, the men and women that, you know, kind of make the country run. You know what I mean? Lifeblood of the country's small business is the American worker. So, you know, as you're meeting all these people, you know, working with airplanes is high stakes, very detail-oriented work. Do you feel like that career taught you anything about discipline and patience or pressure?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a story here.
Yeah.
I was working on a Embraer 170 for Republic, and I had dropped the nut, and it went down through the crack in the floor into the avionics bay.
Okay.
That aircraft now cannot leave until I get that nut back. You cannot have loose hardware just bouncing around. You don't know where it went.
Yeah.
Is it in the flight gear? Is it in, you know, electrical connection? Just hasn't shorted yet. So I dropped this little 10-millimeter nut, and I had to tear the avionics bay apart to find it.
Oh, no.
It took 3.5 hours.
Really?
Yep. Oh. And there was no way around it. You had to get it.
And now, were people waiting, or is the...
Luckily, that was an overnight flight.
Oh, thank God.
So there were no passengers involved in that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, and after that, you just learn anytime you take anything off, you get a good grip on it. You don't lose it. You keep track of anything. Because even if you take a screw out and you lose it, maybe you didn't drop it in the aircraft, but maybe it's in your truck, toolbox. It's got to be accounted for.
Wow. Every nut, bolt.
All of it.
All of it.
So if it's missing, you have to find it now.
Wow. Very so detail-oriented.
It really teaches you to keep track of things, stay organized, and take. Even though passengers, the pilots are probably on your ass, take your time. Because if you drop it, they're screwed more than they were a couple minutes ago.
Right. Could be adding hours. Be adding hours. Wow. And like you said, it's high stakes. Because it's not just your life on the line, right? Like, I think it's, Alaskan crab fishing is, like, one of the deadliest jobs, or I think, right? Deadliest catch.
Yeah.
I think it is.
I think so, yep.
But here, it's like you said, you want to take your time. You have to be patient, disciplined, and look at everything because, you know, there's other people's lives. And it's like, if you rush it, you know, the consequences are severe. So you want to be patient, really detail-oriented, attentive. Yep. Yeah.
Because you may have been there 16 hours, and this plane may have called, hey, we got a light out.
Okay, yeah.
You want to go home. You've been there for 16 hours. But you can't let that affect you because you do a half-assed job, you're going to get half-assed results. And on aircraft, there cannot be half-assed results.
No. It doesn't matter what the Top Gun sitting in the you know, the cockpit thinks. You know, you got to take your time and do it right. So, wow. I mean, that alone right there is such a story because, you know, that's stuff that people don't realize. They're like, oh, why is the plane delayed or why is this and that? But at the end of the day, you want it fixed the right way.
Oh, yeah. Now, don't get wrong. There's plenty of times the pilots are pissed off at their airline and you have to convince them to leave because they just keep writing stuff up. Because once they write something in the logbook, now a mechanic has to come look at it.
Okay.
So I have had aircraft where you fix one thing, drive back, start doing your paperwork, get the call back. He found something else. So you go back down, look at that. No, it's not an issue. That's all fine. Sign it off, go back up. Go back down again. I did have to take a pen from one pilot.
Really?
I kid you not. His company told me, don't bring your pen in to sign the logbook. Take his. So he cannot do this again.
Oh, my gosh.
They were having issues with him long before this. I mean, he called for a fuel leak originally. out of the tip of the wing.
Well, that sounds like something critical.
It would be, but the wings are slanted up, and there's no fuel in the tips.
Oh.
So unless the fuel... You still look, because when he's turning, fuel could have got down there.
That makes sense, yeah.
But it was an overnight plane.
Okay.
It was his first flight of the morning. That plane was sitting on the ground for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Fuel did not make it up to the wingtip. But once again, we had to go down and prove to him it wasn't jet fuel.
Yeah. How many times do you recall, roughly, did you have to go to that plane? And then finally, they're like, just take the pen.
I think it was 5 or 6 times.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Do you think he was just, like, uneasy or paranoid? Or why do you think so many times?
I think he was hungover.
Why?
It was his first flight of the day. I couldn't tell you what day of the week it was. For those 8 years, it was just all...
Right.
A blur.
Kind of blurs. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. He was just in a mood.
Yeah.
And then you get other pilots that... They're not stopping for anything. If it's safe to fly, they're gone.
We're out of here. Mm-hmm. Wheels up. We're going.
And there are a lot of cargo pilots that way. So we had one cargo carrier come in. Now, cargo has a lot less rules than passenger aircraft.
Okay.
Because it's only, if the pilot says it's safe, it's only him in there. Him, maybe a co-pilot.
Yeah.
In this case, it was just him flying an empty plane back to Texas. And I went and put the tail stairs down. Well, whoever had hung the lights... had put the light over the wheel. So when I pulled the lever to release the giant steps, it actually ripped the lights out of the back of the aircraft. For, like, the inside. And I was on the phone with that airline at the time. I was like, we may have an issue. And he goes, did the pilot see it? He's standing right next to me. He just turned around and walked away. It didn't affect his flight.
So he was going.
He was perfectly safe.
He's like, I don't need that. We're going.
Nope. He was not putting in the logbook.
Fix it later.
Yep.
Wow. That's wild. It's yeah.
I couldn't even tell you what airline that was at this point, what cargo carrier, but...
Yeah. But it's amazing how different... And I guess it makes total sense. You know, everyone's different, but different pilots have different comfort levels, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's not critical to what they're doing, you know, then let it go.
Yeah. You can always tell which ones came from the Air Force and which ones were looking for an easy job.
Okay.
Not that being a pilot's an easy thing, but with the newer aircraft, they fly themselves to a point.
Mm-hmm.
They babysit it. A lot of the newer ones,
yeah.
Other than takeoff and landing, they're just babysitting that plane to make sure nothing breaks while they're going.
It's like autopilot once they get it up there.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much.
I mean, autopilot would just about damn near land the thing, too.
Nowadays, mm-hmm. Wow. That's crazy to think about. So, you know, all this time at the airport, you know, you got famous people coming in, cargo, handling that. And, you know, at some point, maybe I kind of twisted your arm, if we're being honest, but... You leave the airport, and like we're saying, towards the end of your time there, you know, it wasn't a lot of time at home, and like you even said, you kind of were living there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they wanted me to be on call my wedding night.
That's right.
Yep.
I do remember that.
I got married on a Saturday. They wanted me to go on call 12:01 a.m. on Sunday. I was like, "There, if you want me divorced quicker than I got married, that's how we do it. We're not doing that."
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, "Well, Dustin took vacation." I'm like, I know. He's coming to my wedding.
Right. Yeah. What do you think he's doing? Right.
I know right where he's going to be.
He's going to be at the wedding. Like, I'll be in the same room as him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's right there.
Yeah.
I mean, there is all kinds of stuff like that. Like, sorry, we need coverage. It's not my company's fault. It's just there was no, we didn't have the employees. There was usually only one or two of us. Two or three of us.
Yeah. And that just over time, it just wears you down, like you're saying. And at some point, it's the final straw, like, okay, enough's enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, from the airport, you had a brief stint here at Color Tech.
Yep, you got me out of the airport here.
Yep, myself, probably Courtney and Megan, I think all three of us were like, yep, we got to get you out of here somehow.
Yep, because that Thursday before my wedding was my last day at the airport. And I was actually unemployed while I was getting married. And then I think it was that Monday I started here.
Started here at the shop, yeah.
As a press helper. Yep. Back here in the press room.
Back there with Norm and Joe.
Yep.
Yeah, running the Heidelberg Press. Yeah. Yeah. Five Color Press.
Helped out Rod a little bit too in
shipping.
Shipping, yeah.
Yeah.
Did some deliveries for you guys.
Yeah. And that's what I think, you know, at some family business, it's you wear multiple hats, you know, and you help out where it's needed. And,
That's my brother-in-law. He can wait.
All right. I was going to say, you want to put him on speaker?
Nah, it's probably an excavator question.
Okay. Yeah. But, I mean, it was one of those things where, yeah, you wore multiple hats. And I could tell, like, you know, obviously printing is much different than mechanics and heavy machinery and aviation, you know, working on airplanes and such. But I'm like, we just got to get this guy out of here. Let's see what happens, see if it works. And I forget, I think it was maybe 6 months or so. It was a couple months. And then I think it was my father-in-law was like, hey, I got an opportunity for you to get back into heavy equipment at, was it Bobcat?
Bobcat Lancaster, yep.
Bobcat Lancaster, yeah.
Was actually, he tried to get me out first because they were building that new store in Reading.
Yeah.
And it just kept going, kept going, kept going. And I mean, that's another reason I stay at the airport 8 years at that point in time and still to this day. So we averaged losing an aircraft mechanic every 8 months was the average. Longest lasting aircraft mechanic before me was Jeff Krohn.
Okay.
Consecutive. Dustin will argue about time spent there, which he's got. He was a fueler.
Yeah.
He came back. Consecutive. Jeff was there 7.5 years. So once I hit that point, I was like, you know what? We're going to stay 8 so I can be etched into the concrete here somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, my handprint is still on one of the doors there, too.
Yeah.
I had a greasy hand. Being an asshole, I put my hand on the door. Right. No one ever washed it off. It is still there.
8 years. I mean, that's, yeah. And you were, like I said, towards the end, you were fully living there. People, like, for the listeners that don't understand, like, when we say Dylan was living there, I mean, days. There'd be some nights, you know, Megan, I think, would text or call Courtney and be like, is Sully and Dylan together? Like, are they hanging out or what's going on? Have you heard from Dylan? We're like, no. And you were just pretty much passed out because you're working, you know, straight through days, weekends, you know?
Yep. Yeah. My record was I slept at the airport 5 days out of 7.
Damn.
I came home, I think it was like a Wednesday and a Sunday. But Monday, Tuesday, I slept there. And then it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I slept there.
Yeah.
Just all the way through.
That's wild.
That's when I was alone. I had no...
Yeah, it was just you.
Yep.
That's why we're like, we got to get this guy out of there. You know, it's like, it's not good for your health. So, yeah, short stint here, Color Tech, Bobcat of Lancaster, getting back, you know, getting grease and oil on your hands, you know, getting to work with machinery. And then from there, tell us how you ended up at Woods CRW Corporation out in Carlisle.
Oh, that would be your father-in-law again. So Bobcat of Lancaster wasn't doing well. And you could see it, just a lot of stuff happening that, healthy company. I don't mean like it wasn't a toxic company to work for.
Yeah.
Financially healthy. I mean, there were whole departments disappearing, trying to cut costs wherever they could. It's like, all right. And then come Christmas, there was no bonus or raises. So everyone was like, yeah, we got to get out while we can before we're just fired or laid off.
Yeah.
And 14 or 15 salesmen had left. And Garloff was one of the salesmen that left. He went to Wood CRW down in Carlisle. And then when he caught wind of me thinking about getting out before it tanks, he called me again and, hey, why don't you come down here and work on cranes and heavy excavators? And here we are now.
In those few short years, there was a lot of transition for you. You know, what was it like adjusting to, you know, new industries going from aviation to printing to then, you know, being a mechanic on heavy machinery?
So, I mean, everything is still, there's still an attention to detail. So, as you know here at Color Tech, on the printing press, if you're not paying attention, you'll start getting bad prints.
Yeah.
So, you got to be watching it. I mean, Joe used to be able to hear it. I had to watch it, but Joe could hear it when something went wrong.
Right.
You had to make sure you kept all the ink, you know, stocked and clean.
Yeah.
Make sure the paper didn't run out. So, you still, there's always an attention to detail in just about everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then going from here... I was spoiled here because it was climate controlled.
That's true.
Then you go back to a shop where there's only heat in the winter. There's no air conditioning. So come summer, you're sweating. You got a fan somewhere in the shop. That's all you got.
Right.
And the heater is normally just a little propane heater in the ceiling to keep the pipes from freezing. So, and then it's just like aircraft in a way. There's still attention to detail. If you don't tighten it correctly, it's going to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
If you snap it off, break it off, you just got to be honest about it and own your mistakes, and yeah, everything ties back into itself in some way, shape, or form. Every job you've ever done, every job you're gonna do, there's something you could take from one and put it to the other. Now, yeah. There are extremes where that doesn't work, but...
Well, I'd say 100% there are. There's something out there that carries over through the jobs, through the different career paths. Now, was there ever a moment where you thought, wow, this isn't the path I expected, you know, as a kid? I didn't think I'd be doing this, but you just kind of rolled with it.
Oh, that would be the airport, yes.
Yeah.
On one of those 2 or 3 day stretches at 3 a.m. on, you know, in January.
Yeah.
Putting an engine cover on a high engine, high wing aircraft. Freezing. It's 10 degrees by the river. You just got to sit there for a moment. How in the hell did I end up here?
Right.
Yeah. I haven't been home in 2 days. I'm frozen. I'm pissed off. I'm hungry. I made a wrong turn somewhere. My buddy from kindergarten, one of my longtime friends, Wyatt Kerstetter, was always trying to get me to go be a welder with him. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to go fix airplanes. It'll be cool. No, I should have went and I should have followed Wyatt back then.
And what were, because I remember you used to do posts on Facebook in the winter when you would go out and like.
De-icing.
Yeah, what you used to call it?
Oh, what was that? The Adventures of Iceman?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, because 1 year it was song titles, I think it was. Another year it was movie titles.
Yeah.
And every time I de-iced an aircraft, I posted a picture of it.
Yep.
And it had some kind of quote. It was season two, part whatever.
Yep.
Yep.
And, I remember seeing those, yeah.
And there was 1 year, I couldn't tell you which year it was. Adam Griswold used to be the QA guy there. We, as a company, de-iced, I think, 218 aircraft that year.
Wow.
And Adam and I de-iced like 170 of those aircraft.
So pretty much all of it.
And there were still some that Adam did without me and some I did without Adam.
Wow.
So between Adam Griswold and I, we probably de-iced all the aircraft that year.
I just picture like Han Solo in Star Wars. He's going to save Luke and he cuts the Tauntaun open because it's so cold. And like, you know, just icicles coming off your beard and everything.
We used to reference that a lot. You go out, as you're walking out of the hangar and the snow is blowing, it's cold as shit. You always turn around to someone. Well, then I'll see you in hell.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that, yeah. Oh, man. Gosh. Yeah, I mean, I guess, like you said, there's always something you can learn from each job that you can take into your next career path, your next job. And sometimes, you know, you just got to roll with it, you know, and see where life takes you. And while you're on the journey, you know, put your best foot forward, do the best you can, learn as much as you can. You know, and when you hear the phrase, dealing with the hand you're dealt, what does that mean to you personally?
Kind of take it as it is. Deal with the hand you're dealt. I think working as a mechanic so long with those hours, when something breaks, you just have to deal with it. And I've pissed my wife off, but it comes with me home.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, and the house flooded. When that toilet went bad, it flooded our whole house. Called home insurance. They came in. The water mitigation people were there, cutting drywall, cutting carpet, all that. Obviously, Megan was not too pleased about everything happening. I asked them if they needed help. They said, nope, just sit there, and when we're done, we'll go. So at that point, there's nothing left to do than to let them do their job. So it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was sitting on the low seat with a beer in my hand.
Yeah.
You just got to watch them work. You deal with the hand you're dealt. Ain't nothing you can do now. It already happened. So let it happen and deal with it after.
Yeah, roll with the punches. You know what I mean? Roll with it. So your time now at Woods CRW Corporation, shout out to Johnny Garloff for, you know, again, and he'd even say it too, you've earned everywhere that you've been. But he's also a sales rep there at Woods CRW. So take us through, because I don't want to just skip over that. I mean, that's where you're currently at. What's that role like? What's that journey like? Yeah, take us through a little bit about that. How does it work?
So cranes are just as high risk as aircraft. Because again, if the winch falls off the crane, whatever it's holding is coming plummeting down at a construction site.
Yeah.
Anything like that. So, I mean, you're still dealing with a lot of liability, a lot of risk. Once again, attention to detail. Make sure the job's done.
Yeah.
Stay accountable. If you screwed it up, tell someone. Find someone who knows how to fix it and go from there. But, I mean, you just, with Woods, so Bobcat was a lot more rental.
Okay.
They did a lot of renting. Woods is mostly sales and service. I do a little bit of road work for them. Normal days, just usually it's a sold piece, putting on whatever attachments, whatever options they need. We do get plenty of repairs. Link belt, I didn't know this till I started there. Link belt excavators do not come with a coupler when you buy them.
Okay.
Link belt does not have a coupler that like grabs the bucket.
Yeah.
So you have to buy an aftermarket. So we put a lot of those on. I've done dozens of those. Excuse me, all sizes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I help out in the cranes. We, you know, pull all the winch cables off, put them back on. Even the big crawler cranes, the 220-foot boom and all that, the lattice booms, we've disassembled them into 20, 30-foot sections, shipped them out, put them back together. And some of those cranes take 12 or 13, 11 or 12 tractor trailers to get them out because, like, the tracks are so big.
Holy cow.
So one flatbed comes in for a track. Another flatbed comes in with a track. Then you put the sections of the boom on top of the tracks. We'll load 7, 8, you know, tractor trailers just trying to get the crane out. Then you get those really big trucks that come for the actual house, like the main part of the crane.
Yeah.
And we'll actually pick the crane up using its leveling device, the outriggers,
mm-hmm.
and then drop it on the truck. Yeah, it's something. Wow.
And no matter what, like you said, it's attention to detail across the board. Do you think there's a mindset or an attitude that helps people handle change and really, you know what I mean, like put their best foot forward? Because sometimes when people go through career changes or just changes in life, good or bad, like it could have a negative effect on them.
Absolutely. I don't know what the best way to put that would be. I mean, thanks to the airport, I just expect things to go wrong. So when they do, I'm par for the course. I'm good. Yeah. You just have to look at the positive in whatever is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not directly your fault and something just broke that's going to keep you there longer, you know, something went wrong, etc. If you couldn't stop it, then there's no reason to get upset about it. Now you just have to fix it. And if you did cause it, now you had a learning experience.
Yeah.
Don't cause it a second time. Because that's how a lot of mechanics learn. They break it once. All right, let's not do that again. And you don't. That's how you learn, and you just got to keep going.
Keep going, yeah. So looking back on your journey so far from hunting in West Cameron to aviation to heavy equipment, what are you most proud of?
Most proud of?
Yeah, and maybe it's not even work-related now I think about it. I mean, that's a bit of a loaded question, but so far in your journey, in your life, what are you most proud of?
I don't know. That's a tough question.
That is a tough one now I think about it.
I mean,
I have a couple. I was going to say, if you want to think about it, I have a couple that come to my mind since I just gave you that loaded question.
Okay.
Now I think about it, the most proud of, right? I got two.
You know, becoming a father, having Hadley.
100%.
Family and all that.
Yeah.
I was kind of focusing on the work side of that.
Career, yeah.
Yeah. But starting a family, that was watching my daughter grow.
Yeah.
That's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely
I'm with you there, 100%.
Yeah. Yep,
that'd be one. And then for me, it would be, you know, a big sale or getting a new client on board that, you know, because then it's like, okay, now the employee's here. You know, they have work, they have, you know, for their families, feed families and so forth. But then also it's like a new relationship with that client to build and grow. So definitely I agree with you 100%. Father and, you know, family first. And then for me it would be like the high of getting a new sale, you know, getting a new partnership and so forth.
I got you.
Yeah.
I would say one thing that sticks out in my mind.
Yeah.
Is me and Dustin as well. We both got to fix a 747 before they pulled them. 747s are no longer passenger aircraft.
Really?
Yep. We fixed some of the last ones for United. It was a Penn State charter. They were going to the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
I think. Don't quote me on where they were going, but it was Penn State.
Yeah, yeah.
And we fixed two of the last ones.
Wow.
And, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It was. And then, I mean, there were some pilots that I have their number because they recognized me because some kind of crap happened. And there I was at 2 a.m. because I was already sleeping there. Surprised them that maintenance is here.
Yeah. This guy's living here.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was always fun to be recognized again because those pilots go to everywhere. You know, it's not just back and forth.
Right.
It may be months before they see you again, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a couple times I was recognized, and that always made you feel good too. Made you feel like you were doing something.
Yeah, doing something right, you know. People, they appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Wow. And then if you could go back, this is, again, another left field question, maybe out of left field. If you go back and talk to your younger self, what would you say? What would you tell him?
Number one thing would don't chew.
Mm.
Do not go into tobacco. I still haven't kicked that habit.
Working on it.
If I can go back, I'd kick his ass and tell him not to do that.
Yeah.
And listen to Wyatt.
I like it. Get into Wyatt. Listen to Wyatt.
Yeah, listen to Wyatt.
Shout out to Wyatt. Yeah, he tried.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just...
Yeah.
Because I've always had this... It's not a positive outlook. I don't worry about things too deeply that it gets me upset. Work-related, mind you. Not,
right, right. Yeah. Right.
I don't know. I don't know what I would tell myself. Take better care of your body, right. I guess.
Ain't that what we all would say?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I want to do a quick shout out to New Trail. Dylan, you're drinking, what is it, the name of that?
The State Light American Lager.
State Light American Lager. I believe that's what they sell at Beaver Stadium for Penn State home football games. That's what I was told. So, you know, New Trail, if anyone happens to be listening, yeah, we're always looking for sponsorships. And how'd you like that? Was it good?
It was good. Hey, it's empty. It's pretty good.
We'll have to crack open another one. Yeah. So, but no, Dylan, I really appreciate you coming in, man.
Absolutely.
You're my good buddy. I needed somebody. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we got to share your story. We're an hour 15 in.
Holy shit.
So that's pretty impressive. I mean, we're at the end here. I'm gonna kind of wrap it up. So for the listeners, a quick call to action. Check the links in the show notes to learn more about Woods, CRW Corporation. And real quick, is there any social media handles that you want to shout out in case anybody listening, old friends, family, who knows, wants to connect with you on social media?
Nope.
Yeah, you never know. Could be some stalkers out there. Again, listeners, if this episode entertained you, please share it, leave a review, and subscribe to American Grown Podcast for more incredible stories from the heart of our community. Dylan Yeager, heavy equipment mechanic, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for dealing with me.
Awesome job, brother. That was great. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors. A&M Pizza, authentic Italian food made with the finest quality ingredients. Proudly serving the Lebanon and Lancaster area since 1980. Stop by their Campbelltown location today. You'll be happy you did. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.